Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
So this idea of landscape, of a vast terrain, I have my own in mind for my own life, my own heart, things that I see. And as I engage that, as I start to look at that in times of prayer and begin to contemplate and ask God what those things mean, he begins to reveal things. Because it is beautiful. Our hearts are beautiful. And that's true for all of us. But there are things, there are things that are fractured, there are things that are broken, there are things that have been destructive to us. And what we choose to do with those is really our choice. We can choose to step over them, ignore them, bury them, pretend that they're not there, or we can invite Jesus into those places. We can begin to do a little bit of landscaping in our hearts and use that time to be renewed and restored. So we're going to go, first slide, please. To me, this all begins in Genesis, as many things do. I had this thought the other day. I was kind of, you know, obviously in the Word preparing for today, and it surprised me that this thought that came to me, it seems like there's, for me, no real beginning or no real end to God's Word. And I don't mean to say that in the sense that literally there's no beginning and there's no end. What I mean is every time I go back, every time I reread something, there's something new. It's never fully finished or complete in me. And that's a lot like our hearts, right? Transforming, changing over time. And if we can read God's word that way, looking for the new, the uncovered things every time we engage it, we're in for a pretty cool ride. So last week, Steve talked about the importance of owning our faith. If we are to fully own our faith, we must also acknowledge our faults and our fractures, the challenges we have. Because if we just say, you know, this is my faith, this is what I believe, this is who I am, and yet we don't invite Jesus in to do a work inside of our hearts on a regular basis, that faith will grow stale. We have got to have the ability to create testimony and to share that with others. And so I hope to encourage you in that today. However, we do have a default setting that a lot of us end up going to that begins in, you can go back actually, that begins in Genesis 3. I won't read all of this. I'm going to sort of, because I'll run out of time. I'm already worried I'm going to run out of time. I won't reread it all. I'm just going to sort of summarize, basically. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against God back in Genesis, they had a default setting, and that default setting was to, number one, to hide, right? They hid from God. Isn't that crazy that we hide from God? Because we're ashamed. But if we're going to hide from God, we are sure as heck going to hide from others. And we're going to hide from ourselves, without a doubt. And as Steve has spoken so eloquently up here on many occasions, of course, nothing hidden can be healed, right? It will remain covered. And the second thing they do is they blame. I find this rather humorous and at the same time not so humorous, because I've done it a lot. We blame one another. Sometimes we blame ourselves, and sometimes we blame God, right? This line up here, when the man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Do you hear the blame? Twice in one sentence, right? Right after hiding. That is our default. And yet I'm so thankful, because we can easily read this and stop here and be like, well, that's how I was made. I guess that's kind of what happens with me. That is not the message of Christ. We are to be made new again. We have an alternative. This may be our default, But it is not the end of the story. There is hope and there is goodness. Even in our most darkest, hidden, broken places. So now we can go to the next slide. We have three primary battles in this world. Sin, our flesh, the things that that we stumble upon in our own hearts, our missteps, right? The fallen world, again, back to Genesis. And finally, evil. Evil itself. We know that evil exists in this world. We've seen it this last week, the shootings of the schools out in Florida. We know that evil exists. And these are all things to pray into. That is part of our faith. We pray in great faith. We pray for healing, restoration of those hearts, of those affected by that. And I hope you will pray today and in the week ahead. I pray that we will be a different kind of Christian people, that instead of just joining in the political diatribe that goes on and the what should we do about this and what should we do about that, that we would instead be a beacon of hope. That spreads a message of hope, faith, and love. Right? That is how we battle evil. It's how we battle evil in our nation, in our world, and in our hearts. Is through prayer and through arming ourselves in that. So let me take a step back to. I'm gonna get my water. I'm gonna go to the next slide, but I'm gonna kind of move around here a little bit. In this cycle that we see in Genesis 3, the initial thing that occurs is Adam and Eve have a response to their sin, as we often have a response to our own sin in the fallen world and the evil that comes along. And let me be clear. I don't believe these things all just happen sort of individually, like that one thing may necessarily be indicated as evil. One thing may be our sin. They can be interwoven, right? That's how evil works, subtly, and to distract us and confuse us. So these things can get challenging and complex, but not impossible. Not impossible to get freedom from. So our response to that is often desperate. When we feel hurt, when we feel wounded, when we feel like something terrible has happened to us, or even our own sin, that we've done something terrible, is we begin to feel desperate, maybe even hopeless. And that's the place where we get tempted. We get tempted through more sin, more evil. Maybe it's just more self-protection, right? So let me give you a little example of that, sort of back to the landscape for a minute. If we don't choose to take note of the things that are affecting our hearts and the ways that we operate, we don't just hurt ourselves. This is not a selfish act. We can hurt others. Right, so I brought up this little sort of this is a blanket, and using this as sort of a display of some of this. So if this is, I'm sure probably none of your landscapes looked like this stage. That would be strange. Mine doesn't. But if we have things that are hidden, right? Say this is past sin, something that's broken us. Right, and we don't acknowledge it, we set it down, and we act like it doesn't exist. Maybe we step over it, maybe we move around it. Eventually we're going to trip over it, right? And it's actually going to start to infect other parts of our lives and other parts of our landscape in our heart, right? The other thing that I think is far worse than just what happens inside of us, we invite people into our hearts and into our lives. And guess what? They'll trip over it. And what do we say? Oops, I'm sorry. You tripped on my shame. You tripped on my sin. You tripped on the thing that I've chosen to never address or never talk about. And now either I need to do that because I've invited you in and I'm abusing you if I don't, or I set it back down and I continue to ignore it. And I hope that you'll ignore it too, right? This is not the message of the gospel. So again, we can get tempted, and part of that temptation and desperation can be to want to ignore that, to continue to cover that up and not look at it anymore. And then we feel ashamed of it, right? The very fact that we've done this, that we carry this thing that's unspoken, that we won't address, it just brings forth shame. It will. And then, right, classically, we hide in blame. And so there is a better way. Of course, we do have hope. We have hope in Jesus. So before you start feeling too down and depressed about my message, let me spend the second half of this building one another up. Next slide. I love this. And this is from Isaiah, so technically before Jesus, though it's speaking of him. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. Right? Our enemies. He is coming to save you, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Right? If your landscape looks like a wasteland, ask Jesus in to start restoring it. These things that we carry with us, they're an opportunity for transformation, right? We bump up against them usually in times of transition, right? When we're going through a change in our lives, a challenge, something that's difficult, we tend to come face to face with these things. And it's an opportunity, right? God gives us also, back to Genesis, God gives us the authority to name. He called Adam to name all of these things in the world, right? Do we really want to let evil name these things? So having the opportunity during a time of transition, or any other time for that matter, to be able to look at these broken parts of our lives and invite Jesus in to restore them, to rename them. I won't go into all the details about how to do that. Of course, first and foremost is going to be prayer. Prayer with God, invitation of the Spirit, prayer with others, right? This is very often not work that is to be done alone in isolation, right? We are created for community and connection. So if you want to change the way that this litters your landscape, you have to start somewhere. And we have to invite Jesus in to transform the way that we think, renew our minds, even in the things like this. My family, we're going through a time of transition right now. We are, we're looking at moving, not far. We'll remain part of this church and actually part of Crossroads down at Glenwood, but we are looking at moving out to Newcastle. And felt back in December that God called us into a time to move and expand. And as we've spoken about here in the last few months, you know, that belong, serve, give, and go. We felt like it was time to launch out and do something else. And we were excited initially, and we still are. That's a transition, though. A pretty big one. For our kids who will move schools, and many other changes. And with that brought great, great challenge and discord and disruption into our home. And we had a choice to make. We could choose to just kind of press on and do things our way, or we could invite God in for the process of transformation, right? To humbly go before him and say, we feel confident that you're calling us into this, and yet, this is really hard. And there's some stuff going on that we feel like is beyond our control and capacity to deal with, so help us. Help us change the things that we need to think about differently, the ways we need to open our minds to you, and look at this time of transformation as not just a time to transform our physical location, but our own hearts and the way that we relate to one another, husband and wife, children, as a family, how we relate to our community. Let this be a time of growth. I believe that, and I'm not going to say it's a hard and fast truth, but I believe that in these things, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals the things that are covered and the things that are blocking us from his goodness. Holy Spirit reveals, Jesus heals, and God will transform. Okay? We've got to be open and accepting of that, though. We can't do it if we're hiding. We can't do it if we're hiding or if we are hiding even these other things. We will continue to trip over them, and we will continue to wound and damage other people in doing so. Back to my notes. Let's talk more about hope. If we go to the next slide. What's countercultural and counterintuitive about all this is, right, that we are sort of hardwired for this place of hiding and blaming and dealing with things that way. So when we talk about the message of Christ and what's to offer, it is essentially the freedom that he brings enables us to have freedom to transform as a response to his love. This is done as a response. We're not going to do it through our own sheer will and strength and might. It is our response. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? The kindness of God will turn us from our sin. And then just in the next chapter of Romans, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Right? It's not his intention or his heart to punish us. Right? A lot of us have grown up in a culture of faith that would have us believe that we are somehow being punished. There are consequences for sin. There are consequences for hiding. And for choosing not to engage the parts of our hearts that God calls us to, right? And out of those consequences can spring forth evil and hurt to others, right? Not God's intention, not his will, not his heart for any of us. He's got something far better, and it's why we have Jesus. And do we just walk through life and say I'm a Christian and yeah, I love Jesus, or do we invite him in on a regular basis to transform the places of our lives where we need it? You know, the Bible also tells us if you want to find your life, you must lose it. Right? If you want to find your true joy and your desire and your passions for life, you want to feel free, you want to feel excited about things, it's hard to do. It's hard to do with this stuff, right? This has got to be addressed. It can't be ignored. We got a couple of choices, right? We can bury it, we can act like it doesn't exist, or we can address it with God, okay? I also believe part of this process is a work of the Spirit, right? If we go to the next slide. So when we are looking for these things, sometimes we don't see them. Often when we're truly and completely deceived we don't know we're deceived, right? Francis Frangipane said that in, what is it? What's the name of that book? I just forgot it. But that was something he said. How do we know we're deceived when we're deceived? So when we talk here in this church or in any church about praying with others and hearing a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, something like that, that's not necessarily some big super spiritual thing that, you know, we have to be on a higher plane or whatever. Ask someone to speak into your heart. They may reveal something that you're not aware of, something that needs to be addressed, something that's holding you back from true freedom and true goodness in your life. Don't make excuses. Don't hide, right? And I believe that this is just made so true by this psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Do you see that? Do you see? Point out anything in me that offends you, right? Show me. I hope that this church, even this morning and this time together, I'm going to invite in a little bit here some perhaps some testimony or time of prayer. But I really hope that we will be a church that builds one another up and encourages one another in these things. You know, when something is revealed to you, or you reveal something to someone else, it's not to hurt or harm or bring forth greater shame. It's to reveal something of the glory of God, something that can be healed, something that we can hold out hope for. Right. So, one of the where did I put it? This book is one of my favorites. It's called Inside Out by Larry Crabb. And I wanted to read you a couple of things out of it because I just think that it really exemplifies who we are at our core, what we do. And so this is in chapter 5, and he says, and Larry Crabb is a Christian counselor, though he's been at it a lot longer. A man opened a counseling session with an urgent request: I want to feel better quick. I paused for a moment and then replied, I suggest you get a case of your favorite alcoholic beverage, find some cooperative women, and go to the Bahamas for a month. Now it was his turn to pause. He stared at me, looking puzzled, and then asked, are you a Christian? Why do you ask? Well, your advice doesn't sound very biblical. It's the best I can do given your request. If you really want to feel good right away and get rid of any unpleasant emotion, then I don't recommend following Christ. Drunkenness, immoral pleasures, and vacations will work far better. Not for long, of course, but in the short run, they'll give you what you want. Isn't that, I don't know if you guys can, I just still relate to that. This is in your notes on the app. A page later, he writes this: Jesus promised us an abundant life, but an abundance of what? A steady stream of blessings that helps us feel good? Or a flowing river of power to love well that pleases God? Which do we most want? Jesus gives nothing to the person who wants what he does not provide. That's sort of a staggering statement. Let me read this part again. This is what he offers. Is it a flowing river of power to love well that pleases God? What do we want most? Jesus gives nothing to the person who wants what he does not provide. Right? Are we humble enough? Have we surrendered enough in our lives that we're ready for Jesus to direct our lives, to name the things that we've chosen to hide or that we want to name ourselves? These things, these are not our identity. These do not define us unless we allow them to, or unless we want to allow Satan to. You know, we want to call ourselves abused. We want to call ourselves traumatized. We want to call ourselves victims. Okay. That's what it's going to be. We want to invite the abundant life that Jesus has for us and restoration and renaming of these things. These can be testimonies. These can transform us. Change the way we live, change the way we love, right? But not by ignoring them. So I wanted to allow for a little bit of time this morning. For those of you, if this speaks to you, and I'm not going to ask you to come up here and share specific trauma or horrible things that have happened to you. I think that that's not very caring or kind. So you can be as vague as you want to be. But if you have experienced this sort of transformational work that God has available to you, I think it would be so cool today as a community for some to get up and share that. Again, you get as specific as you want. But I think it would be wonderful to hear. The second thing I'll say, and that I want to invite today, even as we take communion, we break bread together, and head into the closing in worship, I would ask that if you feel like you have a word for someone around you, some truth to speak into their lives, something you want to pray for them about, please don't hesitate. And if you're the recipient of that, please don't hide. I'm going to allow for some time. If there's anyone that you feel like this spoke to you, maybe it reminded you of something that you were healed from. Maybe you think it's happening right now. Would love to hear from you. And that's always, right, crazy thinking about having to come up here and talk. Any of you. at the close of our service, what I would like to do, we always have folks praying here on either side of the stage, and if this spoke to you, maybe you've just never even heard this before. Maybe you're new to the idea of Jesus, but something in you has rattled. Please come up. We'd love to pray with you. Or if it's just a stone that's been unturned. And you want prayer for that, we'd love to pray for you with that as well. I'll make communion. Yeah, man. Yes? Oh, you want it?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Lord, I want to thank you for this time. We're going to come to communion here in a little bit. And Lord, what a blessing your word is. I pray that it will bless others today, that you will reveal what you want to reveal, and that this will be an opportunity for spiritual growth and repairs of our own hearts. And Lord, we pray that we can honor you in the remainder of our time together, in the way that we worship you, in the way that we connect as your children, and in the way that we love and care for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.